If you've ever doubted the notion that real life makes for more drama than anything fiction could devise, you'll find ample proof in the life of actress Patricia Neal. Yes, she starred in The Fountainhead opposite Gary Cooper, with whom she had a passionate affair, which ended with a nervous breakdown. She won an Academy Award for her magnificent performance in Hud with Paul Newman in 1963. She's also suffered the sudden tragic death of one child to the measles and severe injury to another. Patricia Neal herself was felled by three strokes in 1965, recovering thanks to the help of her husband, Raoul Dahl, only to lose him to another woman. Her story is told with particular force and poignancy in the autobiography, As I Am, now available in paperback from Pocket Books. I'm very, very happy to have Patricia Neal with me now on New York & Company. Good afternoon.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Your life has been aptly linked to a Greek tragedy, only instead of the Ides of March as the key day, it's November 17th. Could you tell us about that key day in your life?
I don't know. What 17 seems to mean a great deal in my life. On November the 17th, my daughter died from measles. On November 17th, 5 years later, my ex-husband, Roald Dahl, his dear mother died. November 17th, both people. Mm-hmm. From old age, he died. And our divorce became final on November 17th. On February 17th, I had my fatal stroke.
Well, it wasn't a fatal stroke. But it
was a... I'm sorry. Yes, I get
I was thinking away. About that. Gee, we would be making radio history if it had been a fatal stroke.
I say the wrong word sometimes.
But the newspapers did say that it was a fatal stroke. In fact, it's a miracle that it wasn't.
Yes, they did think it was. I've read about my death in the paper.
Did you have one of those near-death experiences that they
inquire? I don't remember a thing. I'm sorry. I don't even remember the day having had it. I remember the days just before. I remember everything. I don't remember that day at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember vaguely a few things afterwards, but, you know, it's very odd to know what I remember and what I don't.
This book is the result of the encouragement of the nuns at the Benedictine monastery at Regina Laudis, who encouraged you to write a journal to sort out your past, skipping nothing. Had you forgotten much?
Oh, you know, when one writes one's book, there are some things you leave out. Like, I left out two great friends in England, mm-hmm. who I knew for years. I just, they didn't even occur to me. I left out, I got the thing with Betsy Drake. I got it wrong. The mm-hmm. fact that, I forget what it was that I got wrong. Oh, I think the fact that, yes, she did have us, Gary and me, to her house in California.
Gary Cooper.
And Cary Grant went away. Well, and I say the opposite in my book. I say that she didn't have, because I remembered it that way, because I was a little hurt that Cary Grant didn't want Gary Cooper and I to come to his house. Those little things that one, I think everyone does, they make mistakes in whatever they do.
My brother's a writer, and I think that there's more trouble when books are published than any other time, because everybody remembers those stories differently.
Yes.
My brother's going to be on the show, and I'm going to pin it to him when he comes on next week. But I understand. Did it cause trouble when the book was finally published? Were those friends hurt that you'd left them out?
Well, Betsy, she said, "You are dead wrong. I mean, how can you make such a terrible mistake?" And but she's a lovely woman. And I have not heard from the friend who I wrote to. His wife is now dead, but I've written to him, but I have not heard from him. So he's probably hurt, I would say.
Well, you could have kept the journal private, but you decided to have it published.
Well, it's a good book. I think it's
you
a
see,
very
proud of it.
Yes, it's a very good book, and I know that Everyone who I know who read it, they adore it. I think a couple of critics. I forget what the, I think one was a small paper, and she did not like it, and she thought that she did not believe that I was telling the truth, which I was. There's not a lie in it, not a lie.
Well, and maybe that small paper didn't like it, but the New York Times book review did, and virtually every other major paper and reviewer liked it, so forget. Okay. What was it?
I will forget
Chattanooga Post-Dispatch or whatever it was.
You know, it's funny because I tell you, reviews, the only ones you remember are the bad ones. Mm-hmm. That's them crazy about
it. As an actress, too.
Yeah, you know, that's what I do, and I'm an idiot like that.
Did you get a lot of bad reviews over the years? I can't imagine that you did.
I remember that the, unfortunately, I can't remember names of these people, which that will make them very happy, but it was I think the Times review.
Walter Kerr.
Walter Kerr. He hated me. He really hated me. Everything I did, he would just think hideous things to say about me. I'm told I looked a little like his wife. And I think he finally gave me a good review in HUD. I think that's about the only time.
Well, there's a certain amount of evening of scores. You say that you looked a bit like his wife. What about the desire to settle scores in an autobiography? Some of the people you've known over the years can't be all that happy with what you write about them, especially your ex-husband.
I'm told he likes it.
He felt it was fair.
I think he likes my book.
Hmm.
I remember I talked to him on the phone, and I said to him, he said, I like it. So, and that's good. I mean, obviously, he wanted me to cut out the thing that was in the what do I call, not the paperback, but the hardback cover. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to cut one sentence out, which I have done for him.
Mm-hmm. In this edition that's just been published by Pocketbooks. Let's talk a bit about your life. By 21, you'd starred in a Broadway hit, been on the cover of Life, won a Tony. That's a lot for someone from Packard, Kentucky. why had you even gone that far? I mean, were you hit by the people in Packard, Kentucky, hit by the acting bug as easily as people who go to fancy schools in big cities?
You know, unfortunately, Packard, Kentucky no longer exists. It was a mining camp very near the Tennessee border. It was near Williamsburg, Kentucky, and where Grace Moore was born. You remember mm-hmm. Grace Moore, the great singer? She was
born
just Jellicoe, or was from Jellicoe, just a couple of miles away. And but no, Packard no longer exists. But it was a great place to be born and a great place to be born. And my grandfather, who was my mother's father, he was the great doctor in Packard for years.
You, after your success on Broadway, you wound up in Hollywood in John Loves Mary, and then came the film that really made your career and changed your life. I think one of the ironies of The Fountainhead is that it's based on a book by Ayn Rand, who was one of America's most famous conservative writers. And there you were, friends with Dashiell Hammett and Lillian Hellman and the like. Were political matters important to you, or were you concerned about the political turmoil in Hollywood?
I'm not politically minded. I really am not. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. But I do not say I am a communist. I am a Republican. I am a Democrat. I just think, you know, people as they are, I just judge them. And I'm not a great political figure. I'm really not. I mean, that's all I can. I mean, I adored Dashiell Hammett.
Well, you told
really
a story
adored
in the book about him being denied entrance to a restaurant.
About him. Oh, that was staggering when we were not allowed in that restaurant because of his political feelings.
You thought that The Fountainhead would be a tremendous hit, and it wasn't especially. and you didn't think much of HUD, and it won you the Academy Award.
Well, I liked HUD. Oh, yes, I liked HUD. I didn't think I had a good part. I mean, it was just a tiny part.
I'm very
happy that I won the Academy Award with it.
Well, I think that it's hard not to come away from that film without remembering your performance, because they were the most, they were the dramatic parts of the film. Much of that film is Martin Ritt, wonderful CinemaScope, cinematography, shots that seem to take forever, which is just beautiful. I mean, he really played with the whole idea of CinemaScope. But when you come on, the thing that goes on between you and Paul Newman is thrilling.
Good. I like Paul Newman. He's the divine man.
Now, he's an actor, studio actor. You're not particularly, are you?
I was an actor studio.
Oh,
I could still go there if I wanted to, but I'm just so busy. I don't quite know why I am busy, but I have something to do every day of my life, and I just don't have time to go to the actor studio, which I used to do. Oh, I loved it.
Actually, you were one of the founders, weren't you?
Yes, I was the opening of it. And
before it became Lee Strasberg's
actor studio. Yes, yes. And then when I was in Hollywood for years, and then I came back, and when I was pregnant with my first baby, Olivia, and I wanted very much to go to the actor studio, and I called the dear head man then, who was the man you mentioned, and he said, yeah, come. So I went, and I just loved it, and I went every time, every time. And in the end, they made me a member again, which was very good, and I really love it. It's a fabulous place to work out. And I did a scene from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and that's when Elia Kazan heard how gorgeous it was, and he put me in it when Barbara Bugettis was on holiday. Mm-hmm. And I had a beautiful time doing it.
And you worked with him, Elia Kazan, also in Face in the Crowd.
Face in the Crowd.
My guest is Patricia Neal, who's heartbreaking story, they say, on the cover. I guess you could say that, but I don't know. She looks pretty good right now. It's called As I Am, and it's published by now in paperback by Pocket Books. Let's talk about The Fountainhead. King Vidor was the director. It's a beautiful-to-look-at film, but most people today think of it as the film in which you met Gary Cooper.
Yeah, I did. I had, as I say in my book, I'd seen him at a luncheon that Jack Warner had, and he really buying something happened,
he didn't just say yup and nope to you all?
No, he's really much more interesting than he is given credit for, but he's. He was a beautiful man, and I ran into King Vidor once. I was on on a bicycle, and I was walking, and he talked to me for about 10 minutes, and then he said, "Would you like to test for The Fountainhead?" And I said, "Oh, would I?" So, and I tested. I did 2 scenes, and I got the part, which was very good. And speaking of King Vidor, I wanted to tell you that, unfortunately, I forget the name of this film, but I did see a thing on television. You see, he had, now I'm talking about reality now, and he had twin boys.
Called Vidor?
King
no,
Vidor.
But I mean, are the kids' names Vidor as well?
I don't think so. They could be. I don't know. But and I saw them on a film on television. And it was just staggering. And if somebody happens to be listening to this and knows what I'm talking about, I would love a letter telling me what it is.
Well, it suggests that talent is familial. You've had a number of kids. Are any of them interested in acting?
Well, no. I got Tessa started on acting. I was doing one in on an island off Canada, and I played a mother of a daughter, And I was speaking to the director's wife, and she said, "We have everyone now except your daughter." And I said, "Uh-oh, a good idea just occurred to me. My own daughter."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "What a great idea. I'll call the director at once." So she did, and he went over the next just that night to see Tessa. And he cast her in it. And Ruel was furious. I don't blame him, because I really should not have done that. And that got her started. But she did about, three things. But now she's a fabulous writer. You should really read her book. She has written, about 6 children's books. And then she wrote a book called, here I am. Working for Love. That is the name of it. And it's a heavenly book. So if you haven't bought it, do go buy it. It's beautiful.
A lot of critics have talked about actors like John Wayne and Gary Cooper as being ideally suited for movies, but not necessarily great actors in the way that we think of actors being great. You were somebody who had serious acting background. Did you think that Cooper was a good actor, or didn't it matter?
Listen, I want to tell you that I'm always getting acting classes and that sort of thing, and I went to one which was started by the Actors Studio, it was, in Hollywood, and Gary went with me. And the great teacher, unfortunately I can't remember his name, but he was Russian, and the great actor, what was his name? Oh, I'm so bad with names. But anyway, he had Gary get up on the stage. Gary, and make up a scene. And Gary was fabulous in it. Mm-hmm. He really was a heavenly actor. And if people do not know enough about acting to know that he was, I mean, he really was.
Well, does it bother you when, as somebody who has thought a lot about acting, when people criticize those great Hollywood actors for not having stage technique?
Well, obviously, I mean, Gary had never worked on the stage, but he had a presence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean, if you have a presence on the films, then, I mean, I would say you would have to have it on the stage, but I could be wrong. So don't take me as the final word for this.
You became pregnant with Gary Cooper's baby, and you had an illegal abortion.
Yes, I did.
The abortion debate rages today. With hindsight, what do you feel about that?
I am very sorry that I had an abortion. I really had to, because, I mean, I would have broken up. Well, it would have disturbed, his marriage. And my mother, she would have had a nervous breakdown. Of course, I had the vision that she would kill herself and that sort of thing, which is wrong. But I'm just so sorry that I did not have the courage to have it, like Ingrid Bergman did.
Mm-hmm. It was a rough time in Hollywood those days.
Oh,
very different than today.
I remember that that the papers were filled with her, and people were threatening to kill her and everything, you know. Well, I didn't want to be a part of that because I was too sissy. I really was. I mean, I did not have the guts, the courage to face it. Now, I probably could at this time of my life now, but I'm too old. Anyway, so that is life.
You say you weren't in love with Roald Dahl when you married him. Could you have seen then things that were to seriously hurt the relationship? He wasn't what he appeared to be, was he?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, initially he seems to have been the model husband. Even if you didn't feel the kind of passion you felt for Gary Cooper, sometimes we feel a passion in our first major love affair that we can never duplicate again, but that doesn't mean that we should even want to duplicate that.
No, well, I thought that I'd gone into his apartment, and I'd seen the picture of 2 nieces and a nephew, And I love the picture. And those were the children I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I will marry him because he will give me divine children. And I wanted children so much. You have no idea how much I wanted children. And that is really why I married Roald Dahl, because I thought I would never be deeply in love again, because I had been deeply in love with Gary Cooper. But my relationship with Roald, it certainly turned to love. I mean, many years we were married. We'd been together with so many times, so many tragedies happened, so many divine things. And, of course, you know, I had a deep love for Roald Dahl.
And still, I think, a certain amount of anger as well. The most moving part of the book for me was your depiction of your coping with the three strokes. You kept saying, my mind is gone, and yet you would recognize people and things but not know names for them. That must have been especially hard with your children, wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrible with them. I mean, I know that Tessa, I guess she was about 9 when this happened to me. And I'm maybe 7, I think 9. And she was, you know, she they just looked down on me. I mean, everybody said, oh, well, you know.
What, they weren't compassionate? They didn't see you as somebody who was suffering some major physical problem?
No, they were children, and you cannot make children all that much so. And
so they saw you as a weakling in a way.
Yes, I think so. And my son, he was, you know, laughed all the time. And my daughter, Ophelia, she was a baby. She'd just been born. And she, of course, was horrified by me. And it's tragic, you know, to see that. But now, I mean, I get on beautifully with them all. But children are like that. They don't really know, you know.
Well, the recovering is just amazing. After the three strokes are a lot of strokes. And your descriptions of what you had to go through just to get out of bed or to go to the toilet or to make a cup of tea, whatever, are heartrending. Now, you have pretty much recovered. But you still, I'm sure, I know my father had a stroke. He's constantly dwelling on what he was before because he does feel the change. That must be something that bothers you as well.
Not really. I tell you what bothers me, and that was that I just won the Academy Award. I was going to go sensational. I was going to get the most heavenly parts in the world. I would win Oscar after Oscar after Oscar.
You were 39 years old at the beginning, in fact, of a career.
And it was killed. Geraldine Page, she had just won her great Oscar at long last because she had been up about 6-7 times, and at last she had won, and she was going to go great, and she tragically died. I mean, it's silly, you know, these things that happen. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that G.O.D. plans it.
You've still made something like 7 or 8 films since then, and you became famous for coffee commercials.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I also liked Anison, medicine.
Are you still thinking of commercials? Do you do commercials?
If someone would offer me one, I would love it.
Does pay the rent, doesn't it?
It do.
But it was an amazing career. It has been an amazing career. We've mentioned HUD and The Fountainhead, but you've also been in films like classics like The Day the Earth Stood Still.
The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yes, it's a fun film.
I love
film.
It, yeah.
Breakfast at Tiffany, Face in the Crowd, In Harm's Way. The subject was Roses, which was a great performance. Mm-hmm. You have to be proud of your achievement.
Oh, yes, I am proud. I never became a great star. I wish I had of, but I would say, but yeah, I was, you know, it's just that when I came back to New York, I had to come back, and when I won the Oscar and then I had my stroke. But, you know, I mean, life, it's really, it's a, a fascinating thing to live. I just hope I never suffer from poverty. If I am starving to death, I hope I come here and I hope you will give me a sandwich or something.
Oh, I'll give you a couple of sandwiches. Patricia Neal's book, her autobiography, As I Am, has been described as brutally honest. It's one of those rare autobiographies that really does try to be as open and honest as possible. It's a terrific book. It's now available in paperback from Pocket Books. Thank you so much for having been with us.
I've loved being here.